Welcome to the Spike Feed, your leading Magic the Gathering podcast. What is up? My name is Curtis. I am one of your hosts. I am just your typical Spike, hanging out in Kansas City along with me, my co-host and brother-in-arms, Dustin. I don't know why I say that. We've never gone to war together, but...
Different types of wars. Not all wars are won with guns.
This has gotten very deep, very quickly. A guy I've never fought a war with, I can promise you that, is Cameron, our producer. Cameron, how are you, sir?
Good, man. How are you?
I am fantastic. Again, we've got, you know, the holiday time is a time to reflect. Little navel gazing with Magic the Gathering, things to talk about. So, you know, we like to start every show talking about our weeks in general. I got to be honest, I haven't really talked to you guys this week, so I don't know what we've done. Dustin, tell me you've done something with regards to Magic the Gathering.
Man, so
we only have a magic podcast.
Right. I mean, just keep going downhill, right? This is really bad. I was actually thinking about this the other day, and it's not so much magic itself as, have you noticed that every single holiday season that magic gets stale? We have a bigger gap between the two sets that are coming out. And if you constantly look at Star City and eBay prices and stuff like that, everything drops in price. So it's a really good time to speculate and start picking stuff up for, you know, when Born of the Gods comes out, because everything is so dirt cheap right now. I've talked to store owners before, and they always hate this season. I mean, you'd think the Christmas season would be good, but I guess everybody's spending their money on gifts for other people.
Not being degenerates and spending all their money on magic
like they should be. So if you have some extra money and you've already bought all your Christmas presents for everybody, it's a great time to go out and buy the stuff that you think will go up, or stuff that you're going to play with because you expect it to go up.
Well, fair enough. Cameron, rescue us, my friend. Tell me something regarding Magic the Gathering.
So two things. First, I had a wicked crazy busy week with... So with the PBS station, of course, we do Pledge, and so I was working, directing, and doing all these other things during the night. And so I had
my
mornings.
Do we need to cut and ask for them to donate money to Iowa Public Television?
Yeah, we should do that. Please, if you haven't, member supported, it's all you. Thanks.
And now to Yanni, live at the Acropolis.
So that meant that, like, kind of my normal magic habits that normally happen during the evening, I was doing during the morning. And I played a draft on Magic Online, and there is a completely different class of player, caliber of player, playing at 10 o'clock on a Thursday morning than there is on a, let's say, Friday night.
That is totally true.
I mean, I was wiped.
Right.
It was really, really bad. No, I mean, I had a great time kind of just playing that. Also this week, I went to like my comic shop and was just looking at some cards, and I ended up buying just a variety of different cards.
Here comes the cringes from Dustin and go.
Yep. So I got some Hallowed Fountains, which I was really happy with.
How much you pay for
that? Let's see. It was like $10.
That's not too bad a price.
No, I was okay with that. I picked
he
up
robbed
one
the store
Supreme
at
Verdict.
Gunpoint, Dustin. Is that what you want to hear?
We got a Supreme Verdict, and then I started kind of expanding upon the modern deck I'm wanting to build, and picked up two Mutal Vaults, which I had some store credit for,
got those as well.
So
at least tell me you haggled with the price.
You know, there's not really haggling.
No, there's always haggling
involved. You know, it's not like Indiana Jones where you're going down the middle of a street and I will pay, you know, bartering two bananas for one Mutal Vault.
I don't know a single magic store I've ever been in that I haven't haggled the price and got a deal.
I'm not you, Dustin.
You need to learn these things.
See, I need to take you with me. I mean, I just need to watch the master at his art.
Man.
So here's the thing, though. Like, I feel really comfortable just buying cards a lot of times for just their price. However, I've had to kind of go to the school of Dustin when you start buying legacy cards, because the quality of the card really matters, you know? And so you start having to haggle over these edges and, you know, hey, that's a little bit up, et cetera, whenever you're buying these like dual lands or whatever. And that's really important, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's still not happy with me for buying dual lands, but he's happier when I haggle. He's less disappointed.
Exactly.
And that's what we should all shoot for, Cameron.
But why stop at vintage and legacy cards? Why not haggle your standard cards too? Every
just
dollar
being real, Dustin, I have this guy who goes to Japan every once in a while, and I get all my standard cards from him.
Fair enough. I'm talking to Cameron right now.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah.
So I had all intentions to go to the card shop this Friday, and hell, I've been here for over 2 weeks now, and for some reason I can't get out of my head that I keep thinking it's a day before, because I'm a day ahead of you guys, right? So
right.
All of a sudden, it's like, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I can go, you know, play cards tomorrow, so on and so on. And then it's like, oh, it's already 10 p.m. Friday now. So it's been really bad because I've been so sidetracked doing other things, and I don't know what the hell day of the week it is.
You should just join me in Modern or in Magic Online.
On Magic
and
Online.
We could, yeah, play at 10 in the morning. I don't know what time that is for you. Probably like sometime.
That would be like 1 a.m.
There we go.
Perfect. I'm 15 hours ahead of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Dustin's more likely to play Duel of the Planeswalkers with you on like
actually,
on iPad than play Magic Online.
The internet connection in Japan is much better and faster than what I'm used to. So it might actually work right here.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. So, gentlemen, can I tell you a story about my week? What I did this week that was magic related yet non-magic related?
Let's hear it. It better involve
Thursday. Happening. Had a lengthy day. And what pops up in my email besides you've been accepted into Hearthstone beta?
Awesome.
Okay.
Nice.
So I can click accept and I furiously download this thing because I've been really interested in, you know, we've talked so much about it as a competitor to Magic Online. And I was talking to Cameron about this before we got on the air today. It delivers such a butt whooping to Magic Online that it's kind of alarming.
Okay.
I think, okay, so first just talk, I'll just talk about the game. I think the game itself is not as good as Magic. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously I'm very devoted to Magic the Gathering. I have a podcast, you know, and, I think it's one of the best games ever designed. I think it's great. Okay. All the things that happen in between the games though are so much better. Like, oh my God.
So what is happening in between the games? I mean, are they like roasting you coffee?
So first of all, you just hit download, install, and then play, and it goes. Let's just get that out of the way. Okay.
You mean it actually runs right?
Right. So what they do is they say, welcome. We have it's like Duel of the Planeswalkers and Magic Online squished together. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the beginning of the game, they're like, hey, we have these tutorial missions for you, and it's kind of like, not Commander. What's the thing in Magic that was before Commander where you had the guy that represented a special
Vanguard.
Vanguard. It's kind of like Vanguard. You pick a class that's associated with a thing in Warcraft, and mm-hmm. you get a special ability that you could pay mana per turn to do. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But what's different about, this game is you have 10 AI opponents, and then you can play against AI at any point. Okay. You can play against another player for free, or you can do this thing called Arena, which is a draft for $2. Okay?
Okay.
And it's asynchronous, meaning once you make your picks, you just go against somebody else that happens to have that, a draft deck, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling Cameron, like, people are complaining that aren't familiar with Magic Online about the prices of the microtransactions Hearthstone. How much do you think 40 packs cost you on Hearthstone?
Well, let's see. You said a draft costs $2, and I'm assuming that includes packs, right?
I haven't actually done it. I just looked at the price.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Okay. So I would assume that packs on Hearthstone are probably $1 or $2 a piece.
Yeah, you can get 40 packs for $40.
That's pretty good.
Nice.
Right? And when you open a pack, it has an animation, and then all the cards are face down, and you click on each one to turn them face up.
So it's like you're playing the
sounds
memory
like
game
the,
from when you were like two.
Right. Well, it sounds like the dumbest thing ever, but it gives Cameron that sensation. that he wants so badly of when he opens the pack and sees that Elspeth, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, it's that lizard part of my brain that's just like itching every single time I see one of those rares.
Right.
Right. Like,
yeah.
Now, I'm assuming this is only with opening your packs, not with draft. Because with draft, I'm assuming they want it to move a little quicker.
Oh, dude, everything is so much more. There's the money and thought that's gone into the interface. Like half the cards, I don't know if it's half, maybe it's a third. They have their own voice acted noise when they come into play.
Okay.
Okay. So the combat is strange and it feels a little bit like, so there's no land. This is kind of the big difference. Mm-hmm. Each turn, like on turn one, you get one mana. Turn two, you get two mana, up and up and up, and it stops at 10. So it is impossible to get mana screwed. Okay.
Okay.
But the difference with that is, though, it feels like luck matters even more. It doesn't seem like it should.
When you say one mana, then two mana, is this cumulative or?
No.
It just keeps adding.
So you have two mana on your second turn, and whatever, like if you just pay one mana, then it just, the other mana just evaporates into thin air.
Okay.
Okay. But what I'm saying is the variance feels really high in game because we have the same exact mana. And if you happen to draw a better set of late game cards, then you just win.
Right.
Right. Hmm. And I don't necessarily know that I understand the skill set of the game very well, but it felt like a lot of times I was winning games that I shouldn't have won. Right. Based upon just the way the game was going. But again, it's really, really good and better than I even thought it was going to be. And I hope the people that make Duel the Planeswalkers and Magic look at it and go, oh, we need to change some things.
The other question I had is this a sort of game? Because what you said about Magic and it being kind of like the best game ever designed, I'm right there with you. And one of the reasons is because every 3 months, the game changes. The core is still there, but it's just a whole new game. And that's what's so exciting about it. Is that the same sort of thing that's happening with Hearthstone? Are there new cards coming out every 3-6 months that is going to change the game in some way, or change the metagame, I guess?
I assume there will be. There are keyworded abilities, right?
Yeah.
And it's in beta. So essentially what's out now is the beta. But here's what's really strange. So every deck can only have two of any card, and your decks are 30 cards, okay, mm-hmm. because there's no land. And if you have more copies than you need of a card, The program lets you, quote, disenchant them to turn them into magic dust that you can use to spend on other singles in their marketplace.
Huh. Hmm.
So they have really made card accessibility a much easier thing to deal with right now.
Do they plan on making this in real life, like physical cards, or is it all just going to be digital?
It would be impossible. Okay. There are certain things that the game does. Like, for example, when a creature takes damage, the damage sticks. Right?
I see.
So, but there is a very, very real scenario where, let's say, BlizzCon 5 years from now, there's a Hearthstone tournament and it's all surface computing, right?
Right.
Like, that's not ridiculous to think about.
Well, so here's the thing that I'm looking at, though. Even if it is a really good game, what we're looking at is Magic is a game that's played worldwide currently. And Magic Online, even being, you know, buggy and having those problems, people do pay into it and people do use it as a resource for practicing for large tournaments and stuff.
Yeah. So, and when it works, it actually really works really, really well. Right.
So on the competitive nature, even with Magic Online's higher prices, I think they'll stay around for a long while. But that doesn't mean that the casual players on there won't migrate. And that could affect them. But I don't know. It could be a year or two before Magic actually even feels anything.
Right. And I want to just clarify. I think it's a danger to Magic Online, not a danger to Magic at large.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think Magic is a better design game, right? I think Magic and baseball are the two, like, quote, perfect games, right?
Now, what if you're watching baseball and playing Magic? Is that just like
it's
the best?
I've done
ever?
That many times, many, many times. Right. But I just think it's a really high quality game. And I know me talking about it is one thing. And some of the listeners might hear me as just like a Warcraft fanboy, which nothing could be further from the truth. I've never played World of Warcraft. The last Warcraft game I played was 3. You know, I'm just not that into shoulder pads. But I'm much more of a StarCraft guy.
You and your anti-1980s agenda. I can't live with this.
I know, right? But some people say there's a war on Christmas. I have a war on shoulder pads. Not many people know that about me.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Is Hearthstone, when it goes live, is it going to have some sort of free trial for people? Or is it something you have to just buy into? I know you said it was cheap, but that doesn't necessarily mean everybody will try it.
So the single player, the Duels of the Planeswalkers campaign part is totally free.
Okay. It's just and you get prize packs with other people.
I played online. I haven't spent a dime on it.
Is that because it's in beta? They're giving you free stuff? Or is that supposed to carry on at launch?
I believe it's free to play. I believe that's how it's going to work. But I can't verify that for you. However, I don't know what the iPad client is going to cost either. And the iPad client, I think, is going to be the thing that puts us over the top. If you're on your iPad in Japan and I'm on my, you know, MacBook at home and we're playing Hearthstone against one another, that's pretty sick. Right.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. Anyway, let's take a quick break, come back and talk some more about the holidays. I'm not talking about the holidays. Why did I say that? Let me go turn on Tinkerbell the movie. And welcome back to the Spike Feed. You already know that because you're like halfway through our podcast. But today, I'm just off my game. I've had like, I don't know how many cups of green tea today. Right?
That's your problem right there. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a problem at all. I mean, green tea is like everywhere here. It's like water. It's coming out of the tap.
Why is green tea the answer for everything? Like even in shampoo, they're like, hey, it's infused with green tea. Why is that good?
I think it's one of those things that when you find something is somewhat healthy for you, they want to put it in everything. Even if you're not getting the health benefits from it, you associate healthy with it.
Fair enough. Just the way fair enough. So, speaking of unhealthy, let's talk about Standard.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad, but it's not great. Let's be real here. There is, again... There was a Star City Standard open this last week. 3 mono blue devotion decks in the top. Blue white control took it down, so yay, good guys.
I mean, people were actually Supreme Verdicting things?
Nice.
Yes. Yes, which is good news. There was also a mono black, a red white devotion deck, so the devotion theme is running pretty thick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I preached the message of control to Cameron, and Cameron's the one that's currently playing Standard, right?
Yeah.
And I want him to feel like I didn't just put him in a rubber dinghy and kick him off the side of the boat into shark-infested waters, right? So, Cameron, you saw this blue-white control deck that won. Let's just kind of focus on that, make that our starting point. Is this the kind of deck you would like to run, or are you a little uncomfortable with it? Because you were trying Esper for a while, and you were uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, Esper, I'm not good with. Maybe I'm not competent enough yet to play with it. But this is close to something that I would like. I feel like the blue white red control that I was kind of playing with a couple of weeks ago. This is something very, very similar. The red that I had in my deck adds a little bit of speed, which helps me as a player, just because I feel like I'm holding on to my life total way too tightly. And that red, at least I feel like I'm dealing some damage more quickly to my opponent. Where this blue-white control, while I have all the cards and it does seem like it could be a good alternative, I still feel like I'm just too impatient for it. How about that?
Mm.
I'm not a full-on blue white control guy. How about that?
You want more action?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, here's what I think is the differentiating factor with like a blue white red deck is like the blue white red decks have this moment where you can very clearly just drop the hammer and go, okay, I'm going to win this game in the next two turns, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Whether it's with the Symbol of the Legion or Thundermaw Hellkite or something like that, where it's just like, here is the way, or you burn them to the face, right? You're holding like 10 points of burn, and you're just like,
yeah,
okay, this is the time. In step or Leader's Helix, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, with the blue-white, that's not the case, right? That's not the case at all. It's much more of a grinding advantage type of thing. I got to tell you, that's not necessarily the kind of blue-white control I like to play either. You know, but looking at this list, it does look pretty sweet, except the one of Elixir of Immortality. Like, what in the world? I didn't see this deck play on camera.
How are we supposed to get that out? How are you supposed to get that out?
I think the most depressing moment in my life will be playing in Friday Night Magic, turn one, Elixir of Immortality, go. No. Dustin, that seems like a card you would enjoy. What do you think of this deck?
I've actually never been too big on Elixir of Immortality unless you're using it in draft, right? I don't know, man.
Don't you think that's like the same thing?
You have a greater chance of getting it in draft, I mean, to be honest, but...
No. Dustin lives in a world where he likes to mill people, right?
Don't hate. I don't know. I think that, especially if you're playing Control-y this way, wouldn't you be better off having like a Ratchet Bomb there instead of an Elixir? I mean, because if they do make all their tokens, it's like an extra Wrath. I don't know.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Who knows, man?
100% agree. Man, this is uncomfortable, Dustin. I don't like agreeing with you this much.
Kind of creepy.
But no, Cameron, I think just for the good of the order, for the good of the show, for the good of our listeners, you need to suit this up and play it this week.
Yeah. I think I might.
What have you been playing lately?
Well, last week I played an Esper Control, which I was just hammered on. It just I just didn't have the card synergy that I was needing. But normally I'm playing like a blue, white, red, have some Supreme Verdicts in there, have the War Leader Helix, have like two Aetherlings and a lot of Azorius Charms.
In any of these decks that you've been playing the last few weeks, have you been moneying with?
The blue, white, wet, red, honestly, I've been doing really well with. I was thinking about using that this week, but I don't know. Like, just because it has won, and it seems to have a lot of good answers to the blue devotion deck, which is probably my greatest nemesis right now, this does seem appealing.
So, like Curtis said, you know, if you've got the cards, give it a whirl. One thing I would say, though, is... if it did win a Star City, then other people will probably have it too. So you're going to want a sideboard for Mono Blue and sideboard against Mirror.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks for
ruining my happy time.
Here's what will happen, though, with Blue Eye Control. Whenever it has a blip like this, you'll see a bunch of people show up with it 1 week, get creamed, right? And then they're like, man, you can't play Control this season. It's no good. And then you'll be the only one next week. I've ridden out these waves many, many times.
That happens a lot.
Yeah. And I will also tell you, dude, there is nothing wrong. If you are winning with Blue, White, Red, even though it's not winning at a Star City level, and that's the deck you're comfortable with, if you're actually looking to money events, just do it, man. Just do it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that makes a perfect point. Sometimes it's not about Star City level. It's just all about your F&M level. If you have a deck that's winning left and right, but it's not the deck that's floating around at all the big events, who cares as long as you're making money?
Maybe I have the deck. You never know. Yeah.
Maybe.
Right. Anyway, so I also kind of wanted to talk a little bit about Magic Online. Kind of to touch up, Cameron, you know, snafu with a listener. Commented on about where you update what.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that it's my fault because, yeah, I'm not the guy that is the most intuitive when it comes to, like, running programs. I know that.
You mean running DOS?
And I just, well, no. And, I mean, the guy had some, like, really, really fair points. We can bring it up. I mean, he was just telling me that, you know, I just hadn't, you probably have made a link to the program executable instead of the kicker, which is exactly what I did. So that was totally on my fault. It's just like one of those little nuances that I just want to work and I live in this world where stuff just works and it's my fault. But yeah, totally there.
Yeah, dude. And guess what happens with Hearthstone?
Does it just work?
You just hit install and then you hit the big play button.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Right? Again, just to, again, specify this, I don't want to hammer this home too much. None of us have a problem with Magic Online when you're in the game. That's
fine. Oh my gosh,
fun.
It's great. Yeah, it's magic. It's wonderful.
It's all the other stuff that happens in between there that's a huge problem, inconvenience, and a costly one. No, but I wanted to talk to you guys. Magic Online prices have fluctuated a lot since this most recent crash. They're starting to kind of come back up. They were mostly standard cards that fluctuated.
Mm-hmm.
And not to get too much into it, but I will likely have a lot more free time to play Friday Night Magic and Saturday events within the next month. So what should happen to my Magic Online collection? I haven't ran Magic Online in quite some time. Is this something that I should look at to unload my collection? Should it just sit there? Dustin, guide me, man, because I'm worried that if there is one more big crash or Hearthstone becomes more of an issue,
right,
the value of my Magic Online cards are going to collapse.
Okay, well, this is what I would look at. First off, when is the actual release for Hearthstone?
I have no idea. Nobody knows.
It's a ways off, so I wouldn't worry too much about that right now. Standard cards are always the ones that you have to worry about the most in real life and in online, right? Because they're the ones that rotate. If they get some fixes done with Magic Online and it comes back and the player base comes back, I don't see why you would get rid of your modern cards and legacy cards unless they're at a higher value than what you paid for them initially.
Okay.
I mean, if everything took a dip, don't take a loss, right? I mean, that just makes sense.
Right.
That being said, when it gets closer to time for something like Hearthstone to be released, and you know that it's on the horizon 3 months, 4 months out, then I would reevaluate. Are you going to play Hearthstone? Are you going to play MTGO? Is this going to affect prices? Are people still going to play MTGO? And you're going to see a lot in message boards and discussion rooms of, you know, people talking about whether or not they're going to migrate.
Mm-hmm.
And even if people migrate, you never know if people come back, because Magic's a game people have been playing for 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's not in dispute. This is why my physical cards are not going anywhere.
Right.
Right. Like, mm-hmm. My legacy cards I hold on to with pretty tight grip, man.
Right. But still, you know, even in the digital world, you don't want to be taking losses just because,
right,
you know, there is a dip. I guess you could call it a magic recession, right? And
right.
Just because there is going to be competition is no reason to just run, right? I mean, hang in there, man.
Okay. So, Cameron... You're kind of the one that's newly investing into Magic Online, somewhat. Yeah. You're just drafting, right? So,
yeah.
Do you just view it as a vehicle to draft and not holding on to value of cards,
or
how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, like, I've looked at my collection that I've kind of assembled, and there's quite a few cards that I have, but it's kind of like, I don't know, like my digital music collection as well. There's like this devaluation with digital, and it's just my own perception and how I kind of view the cards, where I just forget about all of my Magic Online cards. Mm. It's just Magic Online is my draft portal, is really what it is.
No,
found new love with Standard.
When you get your cards in draft on Magic Online, since you don't really use much of them, do you ever sell them to bots for tickets to get more drafts?
I've done a little bit of that, but once again, the navigation, I'm still not completely comfortable with, and so, I understand like the ticket sort of thing. I'm just
right.
not.
So mostly right now, what you're doing is when you draft, you're just paying real money over and over and over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was on MTGO and I was doing my drafts, especially when newer standard sets came out. A lot of times, if you were drafting a mythic or something like that, some of those would go for 10, 12 tickets to bots. And that ends up being, you know, a bunch more drafts. I think what you're missing out on is the ability to take these cards that you're not using and turn them into free drafts, which can become more and more and more. And Stephanie will love you for this too.
Yeah, yeah, totally. That's kind of like my ultimate goal is this Christmas season. I know I have like money coming in from like Christmas gifts and everything like that. That mm-hmm. I'm just going to take like a good chunk of money and just put it into Magic Online so that then whatever cards I get, even if I'm not going to be winning events, and I've won a couple events here and there where I get a free pack or whatever, and that helps towards my draft or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, that's the idea, is that I just take all those cards that I'm not going to be playing with, which pretty much is all of them, because I haven't found that love of standard on Magic Online yet.
Mm-hmm.
I can just put those back into draft. That's exactly what my plan is,
right,
to do this winter.
As long as we're doling out financial advice, though, Cameron, I would tell you physical cards, like whatever Christmas money you get, right?
Let's just put a number on it
just for giggles. Let's say you get $10,000 for Christmas.
What the hell kind of Christmas does this guy have?
Merry Christmas to me. I must have been really good.
Wow.
And you might be saying, hey, should I put a down payment on that BMW? Or should I put my money on Magic Online? Or should I buy paper cards? My response to that would be paper cards. Okay?
Absolutely, dude. Yeah.
First off, it depends on which model of BMW and what he plans on doing with it. Right.
$10,000 is not going to give me a lot at a BMW.
I said a down payment.
Yeah, he said down payment.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Sorry. Yeah.
We're not buying the 1987 BMW down the road. Okay.
I'm sure a $10,000 down payment can end up getting you a pretty decent BMW, Cameron. I believe in you.
Oh, thanks.
I don't know. He doesn't have
a lot
of cards.
While we're in the financial segment, what kind of BMW should Cameron get?
Well, obviously, what you do is you get the fanciest one you can find, right? And then you just drive it like a bat out of hell, go down a bunch of gravel roads, get all these dings and scratches in it, and then you show everybody that I have this car that's like $100,000 and I don't care. That's exactly the way it should be.
Or I buy eight Wastelands, have a playset that I'm going to use, and then take the other four and just tear them in front of you guys. Because apparently I just have money to blow.
Oh, right, right. Yeah? And you got people gifting you
$10,000. To light your cigars.
There we go. Yes.
So bad.
Wow. Are we done with this?
Yes, we are. So let's close out the show. Let's skip our next segment because we're just running a little bit long. And let's have Cameron become a Spike. Cameron, I know this is your favorite card in the world to get. Do you see how I brought the pain this time, Dustin?
Oh, and that's like super tiny text.
Yep.
Yo.
This card
what do
is
you
gonna
got,
be
Cameron?
My, this is A, going to be my Vietnam. I know that for sure.
So Cameron, when you read this, I don't want you to read the Oracle text. I want you to read the actual card as it was written.
I can't read that. Like, I don't have a Retina display screen to read that.
It's so small.
Okay, so this is Chains of Mephistopheles, I think.
Yes.
It is an enchantment card. It costs one and a black, and card text, I guess I will read two different paragraphs because there's the oracle text and then the card text, right?
Just do the oracle, it's fine.
Gosh dang it, I can't read this. What does it say? Every time a player draws a card, that player must first discard a card from his or her hand. If there are no cards in player's hand, take top card from library and place it in the graveyard instead of drawing. The enchantment does not apply to the first card drawn by a player during the draw phase.
Yes! Good work.
This is a...
I actually think the original text is easier to understand than the Oracle. Is
absolutely.
That sad?
No, right. I totally agree with you.
I think that with a lot of older cards, it makes me wonder why Oracle text exists when you can't just take literal translation, right?
I'm sure if we got the rules manager up on this cast, he could explain why. And there's nobody who probably works harder at Wizards, like, because, man, I would not want to be the rules manager.
Right.
But anyway, I'm sure there's a reason for it. Let's hear it, Cameron. What do you think this card is good for?
You sent this to me this morning, and I just got done with, like, my work week. I mean, I just finished it. It was, like, 7 o'clock. I click on this link. I'm like, okay, you know, cards have been pretty good, and Curtis sends this one. I have no idea, dude.
Okay, Cameron.
I mean, I assume if you have two, there's probably something interesting you could do.
Cameron, what is the most popular color in Legacy?
Blue.
And right. What does blue allow people to do all the freaking time?
Draw cards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
okay. So so this just allows you to cycle through your deck.
No. So
or cycle through your hand.
Basically,
right?
What it says is you get to draw your first card, right?
Okay.
Okay. But if you're getting additional cards, they're just, it's all moot. You're not getting anything. Right? I mean, sure, so, you discard choice, but if you're low on cards anyway, then it's just going straight to the graveyard.
Sure.
So, yes. Yes, let's paint a scenario. You play Chains of Mistopheles, and for some reason, I don't know what that card does. Right? I don't know why, because it's so clear.
We'll imagine this player's named Cameron. Okay.
Right.
And I go, cool, brainstorm, instep. And brainstorm says, draw three cards, put two back.
Right.
Right? Before I have to draw those cards, I have to discard a card in order to draw that card. Okay? Okay.
Right.
And if I have no cards in my hand, then I just have to mill.
Right.
Right, off the top of my deck.
Especially with brainstorm. So not only does he have to discard three cards before he draws three cards, and he still has to put two back.
Yeah.
So essentially, nobody would be, at least I hope not, bad enough player that they would play brainstorm while this is on the table. Right?
Right.
But
sure. I'm sure it has happened, though. I'm
right.
sure it has happened.
Right. It really locks up all the additional draw that you see in Legacy, which is everywhere.
Okay.
So, Dustin, what does the Chains of Mephistopheles cost me these days?
I've been asked a couple times to find these for people, and I want to say they're around $250. Something like that. A lot more than it used to be.
That is more expensive than I would have expected, but not surprising. Out of stock at $200 on Star City.
There you go.
So, yeah, I've actually played against this card. It got resolved against me when I was playing Storm, and I lost.
Right.
So
fair enough.
No, you remember the other week we were talking about the price of Moat, and I told you that last I seen it was $250. It is now near mint $350.
Thank you, True Name Nemesis. I'd like to think, Dustin, your advice made such a wave in the Magic world.
For the Moat.
Right?
That's right. Nobody's doing it.
You're on a Moat.
Next week, just give me something with like a sentence, please.
So you want Lightning Bolt next week is what you're telling me.
Yeah. Suntail Hawk. Something like that.
Cameron, you know what I respect about you is your devotion to Suntail Hawk, man. Like, I thought we weren't going
to
sneak it in this episode.
But he had
bam.
To.
Right there at the end of the show.
Straight
fantastic.
Up. Yep.
All right, let's go ahead and close down the show. Well, Dustin, if someone would like to get a hold of you.
I'll pass.
Right. Cameron, if someone would like to get a hold of you.
Such an old man. At Cameron underscore McCoy.
I am at Curtis Now. We are the Spike Feed. You can find us on spikefeed.com, mtgcast.com, and of course iTunes. We will see you guys next week.